Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to you mothers. And I do believe there would be one more announcement. Jim and Leanne are going to celebrate the graduation of their daughter Brianne next Saturday, and they would invite all of you to join them. If you would like to do that, you could get details from them after the service. So turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. We'll be in verses 25 through 29 today. So we've been sitting at the feet of Jesus as he's preached the Sermon on the Mount for 3 years. And today we'll finish our journey. And to say that it has gotten a bit intense at the end would be an overstatement. Would not be an overstatement. Jesus is clear. He is very clear that all he has taught about who we are in Christ is what we should be coming. From one degree of glory to another. He has made it clear that what he has commanded us to do, well, we should do it. We should obey him. Whether you are 90 years old or 9 years old, obeying Jesus by grace, through faith, from a regenerate, Holy Spirit-filled heart is what true Christians do, period. In these last few passages, Jesus speaks of two groups of people who would consider themselves Christians. Both groups will sit in the pews, they will hear the Word of God, and they will speak the Christian language. They will serve in the name of Jesus, and both groups will even call him Lord. Both groups look and act and hears where it's concerning. Both groups believe they are on their way to heaven. But Jesus also speaks of two gates and two ways and two destinations. He commands us to enter the narrow gate and walk the hard way of life. And he warns us that the second group enter the wide gate, which is the easy way that leads to destruction. And there are many in this group. Both groups look and act Christian, and they believe they are going to heaven. Then we come to the warning of the false prophets who are dressed to kill. And we are told we can recognize them by their fruits. Are they teaching and preaching and living the narrow gate and the hard way which leads to life? Or are they teaching and preaching and living the wide gate and the easy path that leads to destruction? We must beware. Are they bearing good fruit? That's how we know. And then in verses 21 through 23, we have a very concerning truth. The two groups of people will cry out, Lord, Lord. And we see one group does the will of God, and they will enter into the kingdom of God. This is the group who enter the narrow gate and live the hard way to life. And we see the second group, those who look like Christians and talk like Christians, and they cried out, Lord, Lord. They preached in his name and cast out demons in his name. They did mighty works in the name of Jesus, but they entered the wide gate and they were on the easy way, and they did not do the will of God. So Jesus declares to them in verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Which brings us to our passage today, which continues with a great warning, but also brings great comfort as well. Matthew 7, 24 through 29. The very word of God. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Let's pray together. Father, we come now after many messages in the Sermon on the Mount, and we come now to this final concluding thought that Jesus has. And Father, I do pray that these words that Jesus speaks sink deeply into our hearts, Father. May they both comfort us, and may they warn us at the same time, Father. So I pray that your Spirit would work in all of our hearts through your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our passage today continues with the same two groups of people. These same two groups of people build houses based on different reactions to Jesus' teaching, which then results in a different outcome when tested. Let me say that again. These same two groups build houses based on different reactions to Jesus' teaching, which then results in different outcomes when tested. Here's the main point Jesus is conveying through this parable. Jesus wants us all to be careful, because the life we live and the hope and belief we have will either stand or fall when tested. And the way to be sure it will stand is to do the words of Jesus. This is self-examination for each of us. It is to answer this simple yet eternal question. I've heard Jesus teach the Sermon on the Mount. Am I now, by grace, through faith, for God's glory and not mine, pursuing hard after living these words? So let's look at this. There is much the same with these two groups we've been talking about. Much the same. They talk Christian talk, and the outside, they look good. There is a lot that is the same, but it is what's different. It is what's different that means everything. So let's first look at what's the same. In verses 24 and 26, we see who Jesus is talking about. He's talking about everyone who hears these words of mine. Everyone who hears these words of mine. Who is this? It's everyone who hears these words of Jesus. At that time, it was verbal. For all the men, women, and children in the crowd, they were hearing his words. It is now for us. Everyone who reads and studies and memorizes and preaches or hears the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount or anywhere else in Scripture, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine. Both groups hear. Both groups learn. Both groups agree with Jesus and nod their head and say amen. Both groups hear the same truth from the same truth giver. Next, we see both groups build a house. Both groups put their hope in something. Both groups store up treasures somewhere. Both groups live and build a religious life. Both groups are actively believing in something, and they each build a house. Next, we see that both groups' houses get hit by a storm in verses 25 and 27. So this life they live, this belief system they have developed, the hope they have, is tested. It's tested. The storm that comes is a wicked, strong storm, and it is the same for both groups. This storm represents trials and sufferings and hardships during this life, but it also represents the final judgment in the day. Both have built a house, and both will be tested and judged in the same way. So we've looked at what's in common. This group of everyone who hears these words of mine can now be divided by their response to the words of Jesus. What separates one group into two groups is what we do with the word that Jesus speaks. And brothers and sisters, this separation is clear, and it determines eternity. Look at it, verse 24. This is the response of the first group. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them. These are the ones that hear the words of Jesus and do the words of Jesus. Look at the second group, verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. These hear the words of Jesus and do not do them. Jesus says, you hear these words of mine and you either do them or you do not do them. One group humbly submits to the correction of God's word and battles revealed sin. The other group despises correction and takes sin lightly. One group longs to be more like Jesus and hears the teaching and pursues after holiness. The other group admires the teaching of Jesus but doesn't put it into practice. One group hears the word of God and uses it as a mirror and applies it to their lives. The other group hears the word of God and forgets what they hear, and they deceive themselves. So now we are getting somewhere. Some do the words of Jesus after hearing them, and some don't. Look how Jesus attaches a label to these groups. Those who hear and do Jesus' words are described as what? Wise. And those who hear and don't do his words are described as fools. Foolish. If you want a definition of what wisdom is, you need not go any further than right here. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, and that fear is screaming out in this passage and the previous ones. Is there a possibility you entered the wide gate and are on the easy path to destruction? If so, then you should fear God. Is it possible you are the many who will stand before God saying, Lord, Lord, and Jesus says to you, I never knew you, depart from me? Then you should fear God. Fear is all over the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Why is Jesus doing this? He's doing this to warn us. He's doing this to warn us and point us towards wisdom. True wisdom really boils down to hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. Wisdom is knowing what to do, when to do it, and why to do it, and then doing it. The wise in this passage build their house differently than the fool. The wise build it differently. Look at verse 24. The wise man builds on a solid foundation, the rock. He does the hard work. He lives the hard life of following Jesus. He's experienced and knows what it is to share in the sufferings of Christ. He knows God's comfort as well as God's love and God's discipline towards him. And the result Jesus gives is of great encouragement and comfort to the wise. Because when the storm comes, when trials come, when suffering comes, and ultimately the judgment of Jesus comes, the house will stand because it was built on doing the words of Jesus. Verse 26, the foolish man, on the other hand, builds his house on the sand. He does not do the words of Jesus. The foolish man did not dig at all, and there is no foundation. He was hurried and he was impatient. He doesn't think things through. Everything he does is selfish and superficial. He doesn't take God seriously. Certainly not his wrath. There is no wisdom. The man lives in a fool's paradise. And the result Jesus gives is of great warning to the foolish. When the storm comes, when the trials come, when the suffering comes, and ultimately the judgment of Jesus comes, the house will fall. It will burst into many pieces. It will collapse because it was not built on doing the words of Jesus. Let's look into the key to this passage. And once again, it is just as it was in verse 21. Look at it, verse 21. Those who make it into heaven do what? They do the will of God. Those who make it into heaven do the will of God. Keep your finger here and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46. Gospel of Luke 6, 46. The truth Jesus is conveying in these parables is quite simple. Obedience. Doing the will of God is not optional. We hear Jesus teach the Sermon on the Mount. Now we must live it. James says in chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, James says, receive the meekness, with meekness, the implanted word. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hear the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 48. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose and the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Those who enter the kingdom of God do the will of God. Jesus says, hear these words of mine and now do them. I've hit hard on doing in obedience over the last few sermons. Why? Because Jesus is. He is warning us and he is encouraging us. But at this point, I want to be clear so you know what we are not talking about. We are not talking about justification by works. Jesus is not teaching that by obeying his word, you are made right with God. He's not teaching that. It is only by the grace of God through repentance and faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection that you can be made right with God. You are justified. You are saved. It's only by God's grace, mercy, and love for us that saves us. The reality Jesus is getting at here is that obedience from the heart is sure to follow a truly justified soul. Obedience from the heart is sure to follow a truly justified soul. James 2:17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Listen now, and this is what we teach at Country Bible Church because it is what Scripture teaches. A person who is reconciled to God by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, is born again, and the Holy Spirit indwelling them. We are God's adopted children, and his laws are now written in our hearts and on our minds. Our desire within us is to truly love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. We have entered the narrow gate and we walk the hard way to life. To love God is to obey God, and we do it together. By grace, through faith, we work hard. And we stumble and we sin, and God's grace is always, always, always there to forgive us and cleanse us when we confess our sin. And we press on and we do these words of Jesus. This is hard work. This is digging, digging deep. This is the rock we build on. This is the gospel of God. This is what the wise man does. And when the storm comes and our house is shattered, no, it stands because we dug deep, because we do the words of Jesus. Why should we take heed? Why should we listen to this? Why should we humble our hearts before these words? Why is it wise to do the words of Jesus? Why is it wise? Yes, because it creates the foundation that our unshakable house is built on. But why? Why is this true? Why does that happen? Let's look at verses 28 and 29. Verse 28. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. Astonished. They were astonished. Many people had gathered, men, women, children had gathered, and they heard the voice of Jesus, and they were astonished. Why? Why were they astonished? We don't have to guess. It's right in verse 29. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. He was not teaching as their scribes would teach. The scribes would teach by quoting other authority and older authority. They would appeal to the authority of others as they taught. That is not the way Jesus taught. Jesus says, I have come to fulfill the law. You have heard it said, but I say to you. It was also said, but I say to you. They would say, thus saith the Lord. Jesus says over and over and over again, I say to you, I say to you, I tell you. They were astonished because he taught amazing things in amazing ways. But what topped it all off and makes his teaching effective even 2,000 years later is because he had the authority to. What makes it wise to do what he says? Because Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh, and he came for this purpose, and he says to. Jesus says, hear and do these words of mine. They were astonished because he taught as one who had the authority. Jesus says to enter the narrow gate. He says enter the narrow gate, and Jesus says beware of false prophets. Jesus is Lord and judge and the one who will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Or Jesus will be the one to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Jesus says, hear and do these words of mine. Why is it wise? Because Jesus has all authority on heaven and on earth. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. It is wise to obey Jesus because he is Lord of all. And he loves us. Brothers and sisters, when we are reading, memorizing, studying, discussing, hearing God's word, it is necessary. It is necessary that the outcome of all of that exposure to his word is for the purpose of living it. Mothers, this day is set aside for you. Take these words to heart. You are building an individual house that will stand or fall. Hear these words of Jesus and do them. But moms, remember this. And dads, hear this as well. You are also building a home. A home that will be tested. A family that will be tried. Rain will come, floods will come, and strong winds will blow. Storms are guaranteed. So be wise. Make every effort to raise your children with Christ as your rock. Use the words he speaks as your guide, and obeying as your devotion, and grace as your peace. Kids, here's a wonderful picture of wisdom for you. Submit to your authority. Your parents give instruction for the same reason God gives them to his children. It is because they love you and they want what's good for you. So learn to be wise early in your life and do the words that your parents tell you to. And certainly, as God's word begins to speak into your hearts, then do them as well. Listen now, dig deep and set your foundation on the rock. The narrow gate and the way is hard in life, but never forget, kids, never forget, it is only way to Jesus is to walk this way, and he is the one who loves you deeply. It's not good to take parables too far, but it seems like God will knock our houses over once in a while with a trial. And I think it's with the purpose of starting over and digging deeper the next time. Does it seem that way to you? He'll keep doing it until we finally hit rock bottom. Is his word, is his truth pressing against your house today? Is it rocking it? If it is, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Don't hesitate. Go to Jesus, repent, and move on. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have loved us so deeply that you've given us Jesus. We thank you also that in Jesus, we find reconciliation with you. It's a big word. We thank you, Father, for your grace. Oh, we thank you for your grace. As we've listened to Jesus through the Sermon on the Mount, there's a standard of living that he has set for his children that is very, very high. It's a high calling that you've given us. Seems impossible at times, Father. So we thank you that you've graced us with the desire to press on into it, Father. We also thank you for the grace that is there as we fail. We thank you that we can come to you and confess our sin before you, and then you faithfully forgive us and cleanse us. Thank you for your grace and your love. Father, we pray that our hearts are more and more in tune to the words of Jesus, and we live the words of Jesus. Father, do that in each of us, I pray, by your grace, in Jesus' name.